Well, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. For about 3 or 4 weeks now, we have been talking about the subject of praise. And we've been talking about what are we to praise God for. And we spent, I think, about 3 weeks just talking about that. Many things that the Scripture gives as to reasons why we should praise God. Now, tonight I want to talk about who is to praise God. Who is obligated to praise Him? And I want to begin tonight in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's that passage or that chapter where we find that familiar verse, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. And if you didn't know that that was in Psalm 103, you probably knew the verse. But the first part of the chapter talks about how the psalmist, and the psalmist is King David, how he talked to himself and he told himself to bless the Lord. So he starts out with praise. He gives thanks for the many things here that God has answered in his prayers. And then, of course, verse 10 through 12, talking about God removing our sin, not dealing with us as we should be dealt with according to our sins. And then, of course, as you get further into it, and he begins to, like in verse 19, talking about the Lord establishing his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. And that is certainly the message that we have been needing to hang on to in the midst of anything going on in our world and in our lives, that God is in control. But he goes into verse 20 by closing it the same way he began it. He starts out with blessing the Lord. And if you remember in the first part of it, he's telling himself to bless the Lord. Now he calls on others to join him in blessing the Lord. And he begins with angels. In verse 20, he says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word." Says some things about angels right here. First, he says that they're mighty in strength. You may have a different word there for mighty. It could say excelling in strength. So they are endued with the strength of God. They also perform or do His word. They do His bidding. They obey the voice of His word. That's what angels do. God created them for that purpose, to serve Him. And in the rebellion that's recorded in many places in the Bible, but one of them in Revelation chapter 12, when the devil had rebelled against God, he took a third of the angels with him. We don't know how many angels there are, but we know there are myriads upon myriads, thousands upon thousands of angels. So to take a third of that would be a lot of fallen angels. And so they rebelled with him, ceasing to desire to obey the voice of God. Now, angels do not have redemption. They do not have salvation. Jesus came to save humanity, not angels. Some are bound in the pit. They will be loose for a period of time. Others are free to roam. But again, they're not free to do anything that they want to do. That they have to function still, even though they rebelled against God, they still have to function within the realm of His decrees. They can't do anything apart from His will. And a good example of that is Job 1 and 2. But here he tells us here that angels are to praise Him. Here's a few other verses. Psalm 148 verse 2 says, "Praise Him, all His angels, praise Him, all His host." Let me show you another passage and just have you to turn there. It's in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, again, another familiar passage of Scripture. But Isaiah chapter 6 records a vision that Isaiah had when he came into the temple. And the whole purpose of coming into the temple was to seek after God, because God had just killed the king. It says there in Uzziah's death, mentioned in verse 1, Uzziah had reigned for 52 years. God had killed him because he usurped the role of a priest, began to offer sacrifices in the temple that was only reserved for certain people. That's just like when David had got the Ark of the Covenant back, and instead of carrying it on the poles and by the tribe that was prescribed to do it, he puts it on a cart. And he even tries to justify it by putting it on a new cart. But the very moment that that cart, as it's being pulled by an ox, hits a hole and the ark shakes, Uzzah puts out his hands and he touches it and God kills him. And again, God has prescribed ways for us, just like as we talk about Sunday in our worship, God prescribes a means and a way and a process by which we are to worship Him, by which we are to obey Him. In Isaiah 6, it just mentions seraphim. And let me just read this. It says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple." So He comes into the temple. He sees the Lord. Chapter 1 tells us that this is a vision. A vision is a little different than just you and I seeing one another. Acts chapter 10, Peter described it as a trance. You and I might describe it as daydreaming. But being caught up in that moment and what's taking place and the events in that vision being just as real as if they were actual events. But he says it's a vision, chapter 1. He says the timing of this was in the same year that King Uzziah died. He sees the Lord on a throne. So it's almost by saying that when God killed the earthly king, the earthly monarch, Isaiah goes into the temple and he sees the heavenly monarch on the throne. He's on the throne. He's high. He's lifted up. He's lofty. He's exalted. The train of His robe is filling the temple. And then what else he sees in verse 2 is seraphim. Seraphim are angels. And here is a picture telling us about these angels. These angels had six wings. They stood above Him, that is above God, above the throne of God, each having six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. With two He flew. So you got Him covering His face, covering His feet, and He's flying with the other two, performing service for God. And then they cry out one to another. And what are they doing? Well, they're doing antiphonal praise. They're going back and forth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, 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 that's the trihagion. The whole point of mentioning holy, holy, holy is not necessarily to identify the Trinity, though we could say that. The Trinity is thrice holy. But it's more of an emphasis. You and I, when we make emphasis on things, we underline it. We underscore. We may do it a couple times to bring emphasis to that. Jesus would do it the same way, but He would say like verily, verily, or truly, truly. He's bringing emphasis to something He's about to say. And here in this case, these seraphim, these angels, they're crying back one to another, and they're saying this over and over and over, and it's worship. In fact, if you read John chapter 12, God who is on the throne, according to John chapter 12, is Jesus. Jesus reveals that in His word in John chapter 12, that the one that Isaiah saw was actually Jesus. And it's a reference back to Isaiah 6. But he talks about the foundations of the thresholds trembling at the voice of Him who called out. And the temple was filling up with smoke. And then he, of course, confesses that he is undone. He's unclean. But all of this is taking place in this vision. And we have here, again, and I'm just bringing the emphasis back to what the seraphim are doing. What are they doing? By saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. They're worshiping God. They're praising God. And one of the things about praise is it has to be according to truth. It has to be the truth. You can't sit here and say something that's not true or think something that's not true about God and to say that you're worshiping Him, to say that you're praising Him. You have to worship Him according to His word. And in this case, they're saying that God is holy. In this case, they're identifying the Lord of hosts, and the term Lord there is Yahweh. And they're identifying that the whole earth is full of His glory. So they're making some truthful statements about Him. Now, if you go over to Revelation chapter 4, you find a similarity here. But in Revelation 4, you got cherubim. Cherubim are mentioned. We know that they're cherubim because if you describe what he sees in Revelation 4:8 with Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10, it's a similar description. In Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, he refers to cherubim. But listen to what it says. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. How long are they doing this? Day and night. They do not rest. They do this constantly. You could imagine the scene here. Angels, as C. Fred Dickinson says, primarily their ministry seems to be that of worship and praise of God. Angels seem to always sing their praise. Song is a most fitting and expressive means of giving God the praise due to His name. Such worship suggests the indescribable majesty and the glory of God, which unfallen angels understand better than do fallen men. Because of God's infinite worthiness, it's an interesting word, such beautiful and excellent worship continues forever without ceasing. We are to give God worth. Here's an example of angels doing this. And that's the first group that I would say who is obligated to give praise to God. First, angels. Secondly, we would say saints, believers, followers of Christ. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Praise. We are to praise God. Here's a story that this one person writes in the Christian Reader. This is some years ago that I found this. And she was saying it was early January. They were in the waiting room at the doctor's office. Every seat was taken. And there was that usual atmosphere of tension. Each person was concerned with their own problems. They were all looking down at their feet. I was just imagining this from those times I've sat in the waiting room when she said this. We look down at our feet. We flip through old magazines. We gaze at pictures on the wall. Isn't that what we do when we're sitting there waiting? And we're all sitting there going, we hate waiting. But she said, suddenly there was a woman sitting across from her that said to her, she said this, why don't we sing? She said, every head turned in her direction, startled at such an idea. But we couldn't help returning the smile on her happy face. And without waiting for an answer, in her strong soprano voice, she began to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. And then everybody joins in. You had her husband joining in. He was ready to sing. And you had others that had joined in. And for long, in the waiting room, they're singing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Could you imagine the staff that was working there hearing that? But it certainly took their eyes off their problems for a few moments. It took their eyes off maybe some news that they were about to hear, seeing a doctor. But they were doing what? They were praising God. We are to praise God. We shouldn't wait till we come together in the church to praise God. We should be doing it on our own. You know, it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's an individual thing. You start with that melody in your heart, and then you influence others to do it, just like this lady did. So we have angels, we have saints. Third, we have Gentiles. Gentiles are to praise Him. Psalm 117, verse 1 says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Gentiles are to praise Him. That's you and I, unless you're Jewish. You're either one or the other, Jew or Gentile. Fourth, we could add to this, children are to praise Him. You know, Jesus said, let the children come to Me, right? Don't stop them. Psalm 8:2 says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. In Matthew chapter 21, in verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw all the wonderful things that Jesus did, the children were crying out in the temple. You know what they were saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. And these leaders, it says that they were indignant. And they said, do you hear what these are saying? And then Jesus responded by saying, yes. Have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? He quotes Psalm 8:2. And they were worshiping Him. And so children are to praise Him. Next, we would say, as Psalm 148 and verse 1 says, the high and the low are to praise Him. It says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him from the heights. Psalm 148:11 says, kings of the earth are all people, princes and all the judges of the earth. And then over in 1 Timothy 2, it talks about the different types of prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, being made for everyone, all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and in reverence. You have everybody involved in this. And then, of course, Psalm 148, verse 12, you have both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. So now you have the young and the old praising Him. And then Psalm 19 and verse 5 says you have the small and the great praising Him. It says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. Everyone is to praise Him. All men, all women, all children, everyone. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 145, 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. How long are we to do this? Forever and ever. All creation is to praise Him. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jennifer Smith says that worship brings all kinds of responses. As I have observed in church recently, there was an elderly woman. She was standing with her eyes closed. Her hands were raised in prayer and praise. The three-year-old standing in the pew in front of her turned around and gave her a high five. She was getting into the moment. But you know, we're all to praise Him, and we're to encourage that praise among all of God's people. That's what we're all to do. The high and the low, the mighty, the strong, the weak, the young and the old, all men, all creation, all children, all Gentiles, all Jews, all saints, all angels. We're all to do that every day. Every single day, not just when we come together, but when we're by ourselves as well. We're all to do this. And we could just put this right alongside with what we've been talking about, that God is worthy of praise. We're to worship the triune God. Here's a list of things as to the reason why we're to do this. And now as we look at this, who's obligated to do it? Everybody. Everybody. You know, you take in Philippians 2. Where it talks about that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what I will usually say to somebody is that you have this opportunity right now to do that or be forced to do that in eternity, in hell. Which would you rather have? You're going to bow your knee. You're going to bow your will to His. You're going to try to fight Him and hold on to it all the way up to the end, but your will is going to be the one to snap, not His. And He's worthy of praise. And that's what we are to do. Father, we want to thank You for this time that we've had looking at this, and we pray that we can, Lord, again, just be encouraged and be reminded that this is what we are to do as well. We hear it in the Scriptures right here that we are to praise You. We are to worship You. And I pray that we will seek to do that every single day, Father, that the fruit from our lips would be praise to Your name. Thank You for our time together tonight. We pray Your blessings on it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.